Greetings, listeners. This is VK3OTN, the official station of the Radio Amateurs Old-Timers Club of Australia, with this month's news and information bulletin for members and friends of the club for October 2024. I am Andrew, a VK3 Charlie Alpha Hotel. Details on when to hear the news and information bulletins are available at the club's website, www.raotc.org.au. VK3OTN is available on a wide range of radio platforms, HF, VHF and UHF, along with 2-meter repeaters, amateur television, DMR, that is digital mobile radio, and D-Star. These news broadcasts are available for download for up to 6 months, just in case you missed the original news broadcast from the RAOTC website. Just put RAOTC into your favourite search engine. If you'd like to contact the club, then why not send us an email? Our address is raotc@raotc.org.au. I hope you enjoy this month's news broadcast. Welcome to the October 2024 edition of RAOTC Club News. Melbourne September Luncheon. When I spoke to you back in August, I discussed the upcoming September Luncheon and Hybrid AGM, which was held on September 19 at the Caulfield RSL here in Melbourne. The guest speaker for the luncheon was Mick Amt, a VK3 Charlie Hotel, who presented a talk about his journey getting into operating SSB voice on the microwave bands from 23 centimetres through to 10 gigahertz or 3 centimetres. Mick presented an excellent presentation and took questions after the presentation. He set up a display of his microwave equipment for people at the luncheon to inspect and discuss with him. RAOTC Annual General Meeting. The RAOTC held the AGM just prior to the Melbourne luncheon. There were around 40 people, including guests attending, with another 10 people via Zoom teleconference. All up, around 44 members were at the AGM. In the election of committee members, there were no nominations for President or Vice President. Mike Good, VK3BDL, was elected to the position of Secretary and Treasurer unopposed. Peter Klee, VK8ZZ, Jim Gordon, VK3ZKK, and myself, Andrew Walton, VK3CAH, were re-elected, and Mike Alsop, VK8MA, and Tim Robinson, VK3YBP, were elected to the committee as new members. Following the presentation by Mick, VK3CH, the president of the WIA, Scott Williams, a VK3KJ, presented honorary life membership awards to Peter Young, VK3MV, and Robert Broomhead, VK3DN. Both presentations have been posted on YouTube, and a link can be found on the luncheon speech recording page, which can be navigated to from the main RAOTC webpage. Key points from the AGM. The following key points are made in the report from the committee. The RAOTC committee held 4 committee meetings per year. The meetings are held via Zoom, so members in the country and interstate can take part in the hope that country and interstate members will join the committee. So far, this has attracted 2 members, both from VK8. We had 455 members at the end of our financial year, which was 24 down on 12 months ago. Our finances are very healthy, but we desperately need new committee members, so the committee have fresh and new ideas. With over 450 members, we should be able to find 2 or 3 members to join the committee every few years to rotate through the committee. New articles for OTN. We need articles for OTN. Please write one or get an amateur radio friend to write one. We will accept audio recordings and can turn them into a written article. Because of the lack of submitted articles, our desktop publisher and committee members have written a number of articles. Articles should come from our members. We want to hear your stories. If only 1 or 2% of our members submit just one article each year, we'll have plenty of material to produce an interesting OTN for you to read. Listening around on air, it seems that most people have done something useful with their lives. There aren't any prizes for taking that information with you to your grave. As one of the younger members, I can recall when there were 8 AM broadcast stations in Sydney, as well as Melbourne, and FM broadcasting was a distant pipe dream. TV was black and white, with 4 channels to choose from if you lived in one of the larger cities. An awful lot has happened since then. Colour OTN via digital download. Members should have received the latest copy of the September OTN, the Journal of the RAOTC. There are details on page 54 on how you can obtain a copy of your journal in colour via digital download. There is a direct link on the club's website main page that will take you to the download page. You will need your membership number along with your unique code that is printed on your address fly sheet in order to access this. The unique code is applicable only to your membership, so it's no good borrowing someone else's code in case you've ripped open your latest OTN and discarded the address flyer sheet. If you have discarded your address sheet, send an email to raotc@raotc.org.au and you'll be sent your download code. Peter, VK3TPM, and our administrative officer, Jim, VK3ZKK, have developed this service, which is modelled along the lines of the download service offered by the WIA for AR Magazine. Our desktop publisher produces a black and white copy, which goes off to the printers in Ballarat, and a colour version for readers to download and view on their screens. If you like the colour edition, then why not drop us a note to the RATC email address and let us know. More information will follow in coming broadcasts. New members and silent keys. Today I am pleased to welcome the following new members to the RATC. At the moment, I don't have all the usual details to hand. Tony Matthews, a VK7 Alpha Juliet Mike. Brian Richardson, a VK3 Charlie Radio. Ray Cowling, a VK3 Alpha Charlie Radio. Robert Hancock, a VK5 Alpha Foxtrot Zulu. And finally, Rob Rutter, a VK3 Charlie Alpha India. It is with regret I report the following silent keys. Again, I don't have all the usual details to hand. Barry Field, VK6 Bravo Radio, member number 377. Adrian Wallace, a VK5 Alpha Whiskey, member number 1637. And finally, Sid Brooksby, a VK2 Foxtrot Alpha Charlie Golf, member number 1736. Sid became a silent key in July 2024. Let us pause a moment in memory of our departed colleagues. Finally, members are reminded the very latest club news is available via the RAOTC website. Put RAOTC into your favourite search engine to find it.
You are listening to VK3 OTN. VK3 OTN is the official station of the Radio Amateurs Old Timers Club, Australia, Incorporated, with the monthly news and information bulletin for members and friends of the club.
This month, once again, we have a couple of interesting technical articles for you, a rebroadcast first put to air in July 2013. First up is Clive, VK6CSW, who tells us about Fleming, pioneer of radio's early days. This will be followed by Bill, a VK3BR, on a discussion of Tin Whiskers and a mystery solved. I hope you enjoy both of these articles. So now, let's pass the microphone over to Clive, a VK6CSW.
Fleming, pioneer of radio's early days. The following article appeared in Asia Pacific Radio Comms magazine in March this year and was written by Mike Smith, a specialist technical writer. The item was forwarded by Ron, VK3AFW, who has made some interesting comments throughout the article. Sir John Ambrose Fleming is regarded as the man who established the practical fundamentals of the thermionic valve era of radio and electronics. The late 19th and early 20th centuries were dominated by inventors and engineers who, between them, made major contributions to radio and electronics. And while some of them made fortunes from their inventions, many lost their money in long-drawn-out patent arguments, in long-drawn-out legal battles. One such inventor was John, later Sir John, Ambrose Fleming, a physicist and electrical engineer who invented a two-element thermionic valve diode, which became known by various names, including the Kennetron. Often called the father of electronics, Fleming has also been described as the common thread that linked the work of Edison, Marconi, DeForest, and Tesla. Born in England in 1849, over his long life, he was 95 when he died in 1945, Fleming had a variety of interests, including mountaineering, watercolour painting, and photography. He was also a devout Christian, and at one time delivered a sermon at St. Martin's in the Fields Church in London on evidence for the resurrection. At the age of 11, he built engines and model boats, and his own camera, which sparked his lifelong interest in photography. Although he wanted to become an engineer, his family's straitened circumstances meant that Fleming had to work a little, to earn a little, to learn a little, in order to reach his goal. Educated initially at University College in London, and later at Cambridge University, where he gained his Bachelor of Arts degree, he became a Bachelor of Science student at University College in 1870, and studied chemistry at the Royal College of Science, now called Imperial College. It was here that he came across Volta's battery. His studies of the battery led to the publication of his first scientific paper, which was the first to be read at the Physical Society of London, now known as the Institute of Physics. Still short of money, he took up a science teaching post at Cheltenham College while continuing his own research, communicating with James Clerk Maxwell at Cambridge. Ever keen to advance his knowledge, at the age of 27, and with the help of a grant and savings, he went back to Cambridge as a student before graduating with a first-class honours degree in chemistry and physics. He then gained a Doctor of Science degree in London and became the first professor of physics and mathematics at Nottingham University. For 26 years, he was a consultant to the Marconi Wireless Telegraph Company, initially to help design a power plant and transmitter for Marconi's successful transatlantic radio transmission in 1901. Early signals were hard to detect using a galvanometer, so Fleming reasoned that if he could get the received signal to flow in only one direction, it would be detected more easily. In other words, the signal would be rectified. So in 1904, he invented the two-electrode thermionic vacuum rectifier, also called an oscillation valve or Fleming tube, which remained dominant until superseded in the 1950s by the development of the transistor. He found that it worked well at rectifying high-frequency signals and made them more clearly seen on the galvanometer. In the same year, he applied for and was granted a patent in the US for the device, and it was quickly and widely adopted for detecting Morse code. This is where Ron, VK3AFW, makes his first comment. He says the previous statement is inaccurate. Fleming was going deaf and needed something that would make a louder sound than the coherer system. He'd been given the diode by Edison many years earlier. To Edison, it was a curio. Current passed in one direction, but what good was that? Fleming saw the possibility for rectifying RF and designed his valve for that purpose. It worked well, but only on damped wave CW. That is, CW with a tone, however raucous it might be. On a pure, unmodulated keyed carrier, all you heard was clicks. Semiconductor detectors, crystal detectors, were also used soon after, but the means by which they rectified remained a mystery for decades. During World War II, silicon diodes were used as detectors, as well as mixers, in all microwave gear. Continuing on with the Fleming story, in 1906, US engineer Lee DeForest added a modulation grid to the Fleming valve, enabling it to act as an amplifier, oscillator, and detector. This audion, or triode, made possible long-distance communications in telephone and radio, and later radar. However, arguments broke out over the similarities and differences between Fleming's and DeForest's devices, resulting in marathon and expensive legal battles that were not finally resolved until 1943, at which time the US Supreme Court ruled Fleming's patent invalid because of an improper disclaimer. It also said that the technology was known art when filed. Incidentally, this same court also decided in 1943 that Nikola Tesla was the true inventor of radio. Ron, VK3AFW, adds further comment at this stage, saying that US courts made a habit of finding in favor of US citizens, no matter how flimsy the justification was. Fleming understood how his valve worked. DeForest hadn't a clue about his, but spent all his money suing any and everybody. Today, we would probably say that he had mental issues. To sue Fleming over the diode was quite illogical. Edison might have had a case, but he did not publish information on his diode, so the prior art claim would fail today, especially as the primitive Edison diode never was used with AC, let alone RF. Tesla was one part engineer, one part shyster and showman, and one part stealer of other ideas. Ron doubts that he had invented anything. Back again to the Fleming story. Fleming was also a pioneer in electric lighting and heating, and of course responsible for the right-hand and left-hand rules of electric motors. As an electrical engineer with the Edison Company, he superintended the introduction of incandescent lighting in England in the early 1880s. Like so many inventors of those times, his work overlapped with others, following the same paths of research. But Fleming has to be regarded as the man who established the practical fundamentals of the thermionic valve era of radio and electronics.
Thanks very much, Clive.
You are listening to VK3OTN and associated relay stations. VK3OTN is the official station of the Radio Amateurs Old Timers Club Australia Incorporated, with the monthly news and information bulletin for members and friends of the club.
Tin Whisker Mystery Solved. This interesting news item comes from the March-April edition of What's New in Electronics and was supplied by Ron, VK3AFW. Tin whiskers are little-known culprits of electronic destruction, tiny killers that leave no evidence the human eye can detect. These microscopic hair-like fibres of metal grow out of the tin used as solder and coating on many electronic circuits. The presence of these whiskers can cause short circuits, and are one of the reasons sonic electronic devices inexplicably stop working. The whiskers act as bridges to conduct electricity to closely spaced parts, a problem expected to become more prevalent as devices are becoming smaller and smaller. The whisker phenomena have been known within scientific circles since the 1940s. But just how these tin whiskers form and grow was largely a mystery. Now, Yong Sun, a mechanical engineering doctoral student at the University of South Carolina's College of Engineering and Computing, has solved part of the puzzle. He used a process called digital imaging correlation to track the deformation of the surfaces and was able to prove the growth of whiskers is caused by high-strain gradient buildup inside the device. The importance of Sun's work goes well beyond extending the operating life of consumer electronics. NASA has verified multiple commercial satellite failures it attributes to tin whiskers. Missile systems, nuclear power stations, and heart pacemakers have also fallen victim to tin whiskers over the past several decades, and they are also considered a suspect in reported brake failures in Toyota vehicles. While manufacturers have been able to control some whiskers by mixing small amounts of lead into tin solder, the 2006 European Union ban on lead in most electronic equipment had ignited a debate among scientists about whether whiskers would remain a perpetual problem. Some observers even predict that it's only a matter of time before miniature devices built after the ban start failing en masse. Zhao Dong Li, a professor in USC's Department of Mechanical Engineering, who served as an advisor on the research, said Yong's work will likely prompt manufacturers to design lead-free products that diffuse stress. This research is a very big deal. As we move towards nanoscale devices, this is a problem that needs to be solved, Li said. Sun's findings have been published in the Scripta Materialia, a materials science journal. Resistor color codes. Remember the old resistors with leads and color codes? Well, they are increasingly difficult to buy, especially in quantities of one. Some of us are battling under illuminated magnifying glasses, trying to solder surface mount components, including resistors, to printed circuit boards. There is no color coding on these NATs, but they have marked values which can be read, albeit with some difficulty. Now even those clues are to disappear. A major manufacturer of surface mount devices, Yagio, has announced it will remove the marking on its RC/AC0603, 0805, and 1206 SMD chip resistors from the 1st of July 2013, possibly signaling the start of a bigger trend. The chip provider said it wanted to reduce the unnecessary use of chemicals for printing the markings, citing environmental concerns. Single reels of the chip resistors will still be labeled with all relevant data, and the performance, features, specifications, and manufacturing process of these resistors remain the same. While the removal of markings from components are not an issue to mass manufacturers, it could pose identification problems for small runs of electronics, such as prototyping and one-off boards. For the home builder, and there are still some of us out there, it's yet another issue to deal with. Thanks to Ron, VK3AFW, for that interesting news item. And here's another one. Panasonic may be withdrawing from the plasma television market. According to the Japanese newspaper Nikkei, Panasonic is downsizing its TV business over 3 years, starting this current financial year. It has already terminated research and development on new plasma TVs, choosing to concentrate on LCD technology. The television business peaked during 2009 and 2010, when Panasonic's TV business generated sales of more than 1 trillion yen. It is now expected to earn less than half that amount in 2015 and 2016. Panasonic's plasma TV panel production takes place at its Amagasaki plant, but Panasonic has reportedly already written off the value of the production equipment there and will shut down production in the 2014 fiscal year.
Thanks very much, Bill.
You are listening to VK3OTN and associated relay stations. VK3OTN is the official station of the Radio Amateurs Old Timers Club, Australia, Incorporated, with the monthly news and information bulletin for members and friends of the club.
Perth Luncheons. The popular and well-attended monthly luncheons for RAOTC members and friends in and around the Perth area are held on the second Tuesday of each month. The VK6 RAOTC group have a new venue, the Woodbridge Hotel, 50 East Street, East Guildford. Reports indicate the hospitality to be excellent. The Perth group meet at 11:30 a.m. for lunch at 12 midday. This is not a buffet meal, but excellent food in both pensioner and standard portions are available. We would like to place the orders at 12 midday, so please don't be late. This information is courtesy of Phil, VK6ZKO, whose contact details can be found on the club website.
OTN on disc. Are you aware that the entire collection of OTN is available on disc, delivered right to your door for the minimal cost of $25? The files are all in a portable document format or PDF and can be viewed on any tablet or desktop PC. As time moves on, you've probably noticed that over the years you tend to hoard a few things. When something new arrives home, you have to find room to keep it. Well, why not consider adding the entire collection of OTN? The really good news is, it won't take up any space at all, and it won't provide any food for the silverfish, if you're plagued by them. There is another advantage that might not be quite so evident. The files are pretty much the same as what goes off to the printer twice a year. As time moves on, many readers realise their eyes aren't as young as they used to be. Viewing articles on a 22-inch screen is a whole lot easier. You can zoom right in and have one whole column on the screen at a time. Like online newspapers, it's not quite the same as a printed copy. But the advantage is you don't have to worry about where you're going to keep the things. Further details of how to order OTN on disc is available from the RAOTC website, www.raotc.org.au. This is Andrew, VK3CAH. And in keeping with tradition, we'll finish this broadcast with a short humorous story. This one's entitled The Shop Fitters. Two businessmen in the centre of London were sitting down for a break in their soon-to-be new store. As yet, the store wasn't ready, with only a few shelves set up. One said to the other, "I bet any minute now some pensioner's going to walk by, put their face in the window and ask what we're selling." No sooner the words out of his mouth, when sure enough, a curious old woman walked to the window, had a peek, and in a soft voice asked, "What are you selling here?" One of the men replied sarcastically, "We're selling village idiots." Without skipping a beat, the old woman said, "Must be doing well, only two left."
That's all we have for you this month, and we hope you found something of interest. Thanks for being with us, and we hope you will join in the callbacks, where callbacks are taken. The next RAOTC news and information broadcast will take place on the first Monday of next month, on the same frequencies, and at the same times as today, with the exception of January. If you have missed all or part of this broadcast, or you just want to listen to it again, it is available for download from the RAOTC website. Simply go to www.raotc.org.au. Again, the website URL is www.raotc.org.au. On the right-hand side is the main menu. Click on VK3OTN Broadcasts, and you will be able to see the various times and frequencies of the VK3OTN transmissions by all of our volunteers, provided of course a volunteer is available. Down towards the bottom of the page is the current and previous five broadcasts for you to listen to. Sometimes the relay station is an automated broadcast, For example, a repeater, where no operator is available to take callbacks. Other times the volunteer operator suffers from very heavy local QIM, and callbacks are not always possible. Many operators need a small amount of time to switch from playing a recorded file to using a microphone. Please be mindful of this. This is VK3OTN signing clear from today's news and information session. 73 from the RAOTC broadcast team.